from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
I appreciate the kind words about me and the show. Early on in that first hour, it was a fun hour. It was a quick hour. I don't know why it was special for so many of you, but it's good to hear from you at A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page. After Hours with Amy Lawrence, can you believe we are hurtling our way through the night and through the week to Labor Day weekend? And we've got our poll up on both sites. And it's not in poll form on Facebook, but I think you guys can manage. I think you'll be all right. There used to be, actually, a form where you could, or a particular mode where you could put a poll up on Facebook. I don't know what happened to it. I don't know if it's still there, if it's not still there. But I definitely know that you all have opinions and you will weigh in. Here's what I'm asking you to do. Don't be jerks, okay? We're talking about two young women who play basketball at a very high level. I'm not asking you to measure their personalities or tell me what you think of them off the court. I'm just asking you if you think they should be, or which one should be, Rookie of the Year, because it will be one of them, that's for sure. So again, check it out, either site, 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We're going to get into the Brandon Ayuk situation as the plot thickens coming up here in these next few minutes. If you can read body language or read between the lines, as it were, John Lynch, I think it was fairly easy to smell what he was stepping in. Is that a cliche? That is, right? I suck at cliches. To smell what he was stepping in. I think that's...
No?
Yes, I think it is. I smell what you're stepping in. Meaning like you're stepping in...
Yeah.
You know, as we're talking about dogs. It's funny because this never happened with Penny. When I had Penny, she was one of those dogs, and maybe you all have dogs like this too, who would not do her business in our yard. Or she had to walk at least three houses before she would go pee. And she had to take a full-blown walk before she would do anything else. And so it was never in our yard. The dog we have now, it's my husband's dog, although he reminds me it's our dog, especially when she's eating cat food or doing something she shouldn't be doing. She's a bit of a mess. She's 2-year-old mini Aussie. She was a runt, so she's got a tood. Oh, yeah. This dog, as I'm trying to teach her how to walk on a leash, it's a bit of a project. Again, complete opposite of Penny. I never even had to put Penny on a leash because she would just stay with me. But Daisy will go for walks now. She's getting better at it. But the only place she'll do her business is in our yard. It's very strange. I don't know how dogs learn this or how they decide this, but we've got two completely opposite situations with the dogs. And actually, I've started to look around at different websites and different animal shelters in my area to see what kinds of dogs might be available for adoption. Definitely not getting a puppy. As cute as they are, we already have a 2-year-old dog. And like I said, she's a bit of a mess. Plus a 16-and-a-half-year-old cat. And it would be hard for either of them to have a puppy in the house. Not to mention during football season. I can't imagine training a puppy. But we are thinking about maybe adopting another dog, a 2-3-year-old dog, something along those lines. I'm not sure I'm ready yet, but at least thinking about it. So yeah, it was kind of fun to see Shohei Ohtani with his dog at the ballpark, just remembering when he first got the dog and wouldn't even let us know what his name was. And now, I mean, Ryan apparently thinks the dog should be named something else, but...
Radar is a cool name.
Radar is a cool name. I like that name, but I think it's taken by a cartoon dog. I can see the dog's face in my brain. I'm not sure I could describe him to you, but Radar was definitely a cartoon dog. So yes, it's neat that Shohei Ohtani had his dog at the ballpark. And yeah, he was asked, I edited this, by the way. He was asked with his interpreter, of course, about Decoy fetching the first pitch.
I think I was more nervous with the ceremonial pitch than Decoy. I'm glad that everything went well.
How long did you have to train him to get to do what he did? It was a very special moment.
どのぐらい練習したんですかと。3週間ぐらいしました。3 weeks.
So that's on Sportsnet LA, and he had been working on it for 3 weeks. So look, it wasn't just Shohei Ohtani who has to do his prep, get ready for the games, but it's also Decoy who had to do his own training. And if you watch the video, you may notice that in his hand, Shohei has treats for Decoy. That's always the key. If I want it, Penny did not want to take photos ever. Trying to get a selfie with my dog was, yeah, it was near impossible. But if you had treats, she knew where they were, in your hand, above her head, and then she would sit pretty and she would look directly into the camera. That was the only way to get it done.
There's a lot of pressure fetching the first pitch.
Yeah. And that crowd, I don't know how many of them were there for first pitch because the Dodgers fans are notoriously late arriving, I think in large part due to traffic. But that crowd was 53,000 strong tonight.
I saw a report that they were there 7 hours before gates were open.
Right. Some people were for sure because it was bobblehead night and it was Shohei and it was Decoy and he's obviously a big draw, but him with a dog, oh, forget it. Forget about it. It's off the charts. So that was a lot of fun. We'll do a little more baseball coming up. As I say, we're going to talk about the Niners here straight away. But you got the poll up at A-Law Radio or our Facebook page. Would love to hear from you. Who should be the WNBA Rookie of the Year? They're both incredible young women, and they're both tearing up the leagues. The different leagues' records, but also in their own way have made an incredible impact. So that's been a lot of fun to see. By the way, here's how you know that the Fever are not just a flash in the pan and that Caitlin Clark's star power is more than just basketball fans in Indiana. Do you know who showed up at their game against the Connecticut Sun a few hours ago? Well, that would be none other than U.S. gold medalists, Simone Biles and Gabby Thomas. They were at Gainbridge Fieldhouse. They were cheering on the Fever. And afterward, they were in the Fever locker room. And so there are photos of all the different players. So I saw the video. Someone from the social media team was taking a video. You can see the still photos where they're posing with Caitlin Clark or that kind of thing. But you can also see the video where every single Fever player is giddy over the fact that they get to pose between Gabby Thomas and Simone Biles. They're all giving her hugs. Simone and Gabby were both introduced during the game at the field house. And how about this? It was Gabby's first WNBA game. I dare say she is not that different from a lot of basketball fans or a lot of people who are attending Fever games this year. Around the country, there are a lot of people. In fact, you can find me and tell me if it's the case with you. Gabby Thomas, she's like you. First WNBA game. She said, I had so much fun supporting these stars. And then Simone Biles, her tweet, everyone watches women's sports. So happy to be able to go support my first of many WNBA games. So see, these two gymnasts, decorated Olympians, are attending a game for the first time, and they're doing it in Indiana, where they can see Caitlin Clark play in front of the hometown fans. I mean, that's pretty astounding. Lots of star power at games all over the country. And we've had different reporters and insiders tell us the atmosphere is way different than what they expected, and certainly way different than what games were last year in many places. And so Caitlin, as well as Angel Reese, they're big draws. And I think they're living up to the hype, maybe even exceeding it. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Steve is in Washington. Steve, what do you think about the WNBA Rookie of the Year?
I think it's Caitlin Clark, Amy. First of all, good morning. I'm sorry. How are you?
I'm good. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am. I think it's Caitlin Clark, and I think it's not even close between the two. And I love Angel Reese. But I love watching them both. You know what? In its totality, though, Amy, I love the whole league.
Mm-hmm.
Where it's going, what it's done this year, has provided a lot of entertainment. I was a season ticket holder with the Mystics back in the 90s.
Oh, wow.
When you used to can get a season ticket for $99.
That's amazing.
Yes, Bram. So when Shamika Holmes-Klaw and the late Nikki McCray were there, we led the league in attendance here with 14,000 per game. And so I'm just glad where the league has come. It's very entertaining. And to be honest with you, as far as a family affair, Amy, it's very affordable. For you and your family to go out, if you know, for entertainment, a family of four or three or whatever. And, you know, I absolutely love it. And I love the fact that the TV companies have stepped in. And let's keep it real. Caitlin is part of a lot of the reason for it. And I watched the game last night with her. She took a cheap shot last night to me. To me, I thought it was a cheap shot. With Alyssa Thomas. And I love Alyssa Thomas. I used to watch her at Maryland. But I thought it was a cheap shot. So, okay, Amy, I'll continue to listen on my way to work. And God bless you.
All right, sir. Thanks so much for listening. Good to talk to you. Honestly, as someone who played college hoops, I didn't play WNBA, but as someone who played for years in high school and college, there are cheap shots that take place all the time. It's no different than men's basketball. It's no different than really any sport where you're going to have people who take cheap shots and hope to get away with it. Either they're trying to play mind games with you, or they're frustrated, or they're just trying to get an edge and hoping that the officials don't catch it. So cheap shots are a part of the game. I never left a basketball game without bruises. I would have scratches. That's just how it happens, especially if you play one of the positions where you absorb a lot of contact. Pretty much anything that happens with Caitlin Clark is going to draw attention. And so there's more of a spotlight on her. I mean, there is one camera at every arena dedicated to doing nothing but following Caitlin Clark all over the court. So yeah, we're asking you, who would get your vote as WNBA Rookie of the Year at Amy After Hours? That's our show account, and then also on our Facebook page. All right, let's dive into this latest wrinkle with Brandon Ayuk and Kyle Shanahan and John Lynch both speaking on Wednesday. He was medically cleared, and I mentioned this last hour, but I'll repeat it just in case you didn't hear it. San Francisco, not the Giants, not in football. The Niners had some medical reasons. They'd listed him with a couple of injuries and doing him a solid so that he wouldn't have to pay a fine for missing practice. He was holding in. He was with the team. He was going to meetings. He just wasn't doing anything of the physical nature. And so they had him with neck and I think it's shoulder injuries maybe. And that was so that he wouldn't get fined for missing out. Well, he was medically cleared on Wednesday. He was supposed to be at practice, and yet he didn't. I saw reports coming out of the Bay Area indicating that he would be practicing for the first time, and yet he didn't. They were hoping he would be out there because he got cleared by team doctors, But there's a 30-minute window when media is allowed to watch practice and no one saw Brandon Ayuk. Does this mean that they're at a stalemate? Does this mean they haven't been able to make any progress on the contracts? So yeah, Kyle Shanahan, John Lynch, both talking about it on Wednesday.
Yeah, I'm not going to get into our communication again, but you know, there's, you know, at some point you got to play.
Lynch looked frustrated. He was tapping on the podium where the microphone was. It really looked like he was over it and probably not enjoying the questions either. There's also the question of Trent Williams, who has been holding out without a contract. And Kyle Shanahan, some point you got to face forward and maybe play without these guys.
Yeah, I'm optimistic that things will work out with Trent. I'm not sitting here knowing what day it'll be. I mean, we're getting close to playing a game. So, like, my mind is completely on preparing for a game without those guys. But, yeah, I feel when two sides want to get a deal done, and usually it happens.
That's true. Deadlines tend to spur action. But like I said, John Lynch, his body language, it looked like he's kind of over the whole thing. Whether or not it's driving him nutso, he looked a bit disheveled and just, yeah, not thrilled about this still dragging on.
Yeah, you know, fortunately, there's 90 players here. There's preseason games. There's the work of getting better and that goes into putting a team together. But no question about it. When you've got some of your better players, two of them in particular, that aren't out there, you know, that's your job. Yeah, you take a lot of pride in that. And, I think, you know, one thing, we got a lot of really good players and we've rewarded a lot of good players. And that makes things tougher at times. But, I remain optimistic. We'll find a way to put the best squad out there and really happy with where this team's at and, what we do have to offer. The players out here that have been here are working really hard. We got a lot of love for the two guys that aren't, and we'll continue to work on that to try to bring that to a resolution.
A long-winded answer from John Lynch about both Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams. He almost sounded like he was welcoming the distraction of having a bunch of players, right? 90 players having to get down to 53. Whew, keeping him busy so he's not just focused on Brandon Ayuk and Trent Williams. And, you know, they'd given Ayuk the permission and the ability to seek a trade, to find a place that he would like to go. But obviously, they're not going to take less than what they think they should get in return for their top wide receiver. And for various reasons, the different trade partners have fallen off. So the Washington Commanders were a place where he was interested in because of Jaden Daniels, but they weren't offering what the Niners wanted, nor were the Steelers. The Steelers didn't want to give up their top wide receiver, so a swap. And I can imagine you obviously would not want to get rid of George Pickens or trade him away. So they didn't want to give up a player, though Brandon Ayuk would have gotten the money he wanted, reportedly, and he wanted to play for Mike Tomlin. It wasn't good for the Niners. He decided he didn't want to go to New England or Cleveland. And so back at the drawing board. He missed all 20 of the Niners' practices before they made the cuts. And, of course, not part of the three preseason games. There's been talk that they're going back and forth and that they are at least having conversations. But so far, no extension. And so now there is this one other option. And you kind of wonder, at what point it becomes paramount for Brandon Ayuk to return to the team even without his long-term deal. I don't know if he's got the leverage anymore because we're getting close to the season and the trade partners have kind of faded into black. He could play this season. It's the fifth year on his rookie deal. Make the $14.1 million. And hope that he has the season of his career and then either sign with the Niners or hit the free agent market. Now, guys don't necessarily want to do that. They want to have that guaranteed money, and they want to do it before they get to the final year of their deal. That's kind of the thing. I wish that worked for us in our business. 1 year left on my deal. Sure, let's do the next one. That's not how it works in our business. But you can tell the Niners are preparing just in case. They actually kept 7 receivers on this first 53-man roster because they don't know what will happen with Brandon Ayuk. So CeeDee Lamb's deal is done. Ja'Marr Chase, he's not with the team now either. And remember, Zach Taylor had said to us earlier in the week that he was confident that Ja'Marr would be with the Bengals for their opener. Now he's kind of doubling back and backtracking.
I think I probably put my foot in my mouth speaking too quickly. And it's just, again, this is a day-to-day situation. We'll just keep seeing it as that.
So this is not even 24 hours after he said Ja'Marr Chase will practice this week. And then Chase was AWOL from Wednesday's team activities and practice. And so he says, I put my foot in my mouth. And I shouldn't have said what I said. So you've got Brandon Ayuk, Trent Williams, Ja'Marr Chase, Hassan Reddick with the Jets, though Robert Saleh just said earlier this week that he believes Reddick will be out there for the season opener. And remember last year, the two highest profile holdouts for contract extensions were Chris Jones, a major piece of the Chiefs defense that ended up being obviously the, for the better part of the season, the stronger side of the football. While the offense was scuffling, the Chiefs defense was terrific last year. So Chris Jones, he missed one game. Jonathan Taylor, now he was dealing with injuries, but he missed a month before he came back and had that contract with the Indianapolis Colts. It's not unheard of, but at some point, especially for these guys who are late in their rookie deals, yeah, you're cutting off your nose to spite your face because you're giving back millions of dollars. If you're in your final year of your rookie contract, the money is the best that it's been, especially if you're in your fifth year. So you're a first-round draft pick. The team has the option of keeping you for a fifth year. That's when you really make the most money that you have made at any point. That's the idea, is the player gets paid if the team can control his status for a fifth year. Well, then the player gets paid, no longer like a rookie. But when you're a receiver and you're making $14 million and you see the top receivers in the game who are making $35, $34 million per year, CeeDee Lamb signing for $34 million annually, it's just CeeDee Lamb and Brandon Ayuk not the same guy. I mean, there'd been talk the Steelers were willing to pay him $33 million a year. We'd heard offers around $30 million per year. But so far, nothing doing. Stretching on and on and on. Like a soap opera. When I was in college, I went through this All My Children phase. And you would watch a month of All My Children. And a couple of the characters would remain in the same room and have the same conversation for an entire week. I mean, they knew how to drag out those storylines. That's why they stay on the air for decades, because it's one conversation a month. At A-Law Radio on our Facebook page too, Coco Gauff is introducing me to some new game that I've never heard of before. I mean, she's cool. Teenager is trying to defend her title at the U.S. Open. Novak Djokovic, he's also through to the third round because of walkover. Ronaldo, he's got a really lofty goal for his career. This is fun. I enjoy it when it's a smorgasbord. Although, I got to tell you, I'm looking forward to this college football weekend as well as what's to come in the NFL post-Labor Day. Good to have you with us. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Allen in the shotgun here, as the Bills obviously feel like they found something in the spread. Look, it's a quarterback draw to Allen, weaving his way through tacklers, and he bowls into the end zone with Osiris Torrance helping him over the goal line for the touchdown. a 9-yard quarterback draw for the TD.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Josh Allen, who is, according to front office execs and coaches, general managers, one of the top quarterbacks in the NFL. Now, this is part of the QB tiers. We talked about it with Mike Sando of The Athletic. He puts together these QB tiers that are based on the opinions and the rankings of coaches, general managers, front office execs. So it's not arbitrary from insiders or analysts or any voting system from media. This is actually inside the league. How do those inside the league view the quarterbacks and what tiers do they put them in? And Josh Allen is one of the three that belongs in that top tier, according to coaches and front office execs. Now, we had told you on our last show that Josh Allen was also the most overrated quarterback, according to his peers. Okay, so this is players inside the league, and it's only 100 players. It was a study or a poll, I guess, done by ESPN. And 100 players is, that's not even two active rosters. So limited sample size inside the NFL. But according to these 100 players, Josh Allen was not only the most overrated quarterback, but also the quarterback who trash talked the most. Now, you knew that was going to get back to him. And when I woke up on Wednesday afternoon, I opened up Twix, and the first thing I saw was a post from Josh himself. I'm going to retweet because I can't really describe the GIF. It's probably something that would mean, I don't know, it'd be significant for more of you than it would be for me. But it's, yeah, it's swagger. I'll describe it with swagger. Ryan, if you know who that is, you can tell me. All right, you tell me.
It is Lil Yachty at, I think it was Lollapalooza.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. So he's dancing, he's swagging, he's all over the place. And Josh, he quotes this GIF from Lollapalooza. He's dancing away. So you're telling me I was voted as the number one ... best trash talker? Let's go! And so that's Josh. And I love the fact that he chose to focus on the trash talking part, not the overrated quarterback part. But I would bet that's the reason for the ... You're telling me I was voted as the number one ... Because he got the most votes in both those categories. So yeah, I love the fact that he is game, if you will. He's going to take that as a compliment, and he's going to use it and run with it. Does it make me uncool? Don't answer that question. I'm so uncool I don't know who that is.
No, it's okay if you don't know the GIF. The first reply underneath it I find is more funny because it's the whole video of the guy coming out, and they used AI to make Josh Allen the person.
Oh my gosh. See, this is where AI gets scary.
Well, you know it's fake. It looks fake,
yeah,
but it's funny.
This one actually looks fake, yes. Oh, man, that's terrific, though. He's in a uniform. He's dancing. He's swagging in front of all those fans. That is actually funny. You're right. Some account named or called Immortal. So if a guy on social with 1,000 followers, so we're not talking about a guy who works in the business, just 1,000 followers, and he can do that type of video with AI? Seriously.
All you need is a picture of a person.
That's right. AI is, it's encroaching. It's going to change things. Here's what I say, and I've said this before to you as a warning, but even more now in 2024, be careful what you follow, believe, share on social, because there's a chance it's not real, and people are going to get caught. I've seen, and this is the most I'll ever do in politics. You know, I don't talk politics here on the show. I do talk politics, just not here on the show. But they're meant to be shared, or they're meant to be used as campaign videos either to promote one candidate or smear the other. And some of them look very real. And then you find out, well, and you can kind of tell too, just by the subject matter sometimes, but you can find out that they're, after the fact, that they're AI generated, not real. But it's, yeah, if you've got some good quality software and the right programs, you can fall for it. You can definitely get duped. It's a little scary. What I found, though, and I've heard this in multiple places, my brother's big into software. He's also a hacker expert and a security expert from his time working in computers. But he's talking about how the energy needed for AI is double what most people use on their laptops, their devices, that type of thing. And so the energy required for AI, it'll sap your devices. It'll sap your phones, that kind of stuff, or your computers, because it needs so much more energy than just your standard everyday tasks online. So yeah, that's something that's going to be a challenge moving forward. Anyway, Josh Allen chose to take the high road, and he responded to the trash-talking part, not the overrated QB part, which I think is impressive of him. So check it out at A-Law Radio, and while you're there, you can take our poll. Who should be the WNBA Rookie of the Year? Should it be Caitlin Clark or Angel Reese? And a lot of you are also posting on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Don't you worry, we're not going to censor you. That's Facebook. That's not what we do on the page. Although I do say this sometimes. If you're nasty or crappy about either our subject matter or me or another poster on our page, the page has my name on it. So if the page has my name on it, it represents me, and I don't allow a lot of trashy stuff to stay on our page. So there are times where I will delete posts. I love having that veto power. I will delete posts that you put up on the page because it's, like I said, it's got my name on it. So I'm pretty careful about what we put out there. Coco Gauff has won her second match at the U.S. Open. Didn't love how she played. Felt like she got better as the match went along. Tried to defend her title from a year ago. She actually decided she would practice even after she advanced.
Today, I didn't feel like great after, but I knew literally before the match, I was like, if I win, I'm going to go back and practice again after playing her. I knew that before the match that I was going to do that probably or want to do that.
Yeah, her serving wasn't great in the first set. But she did end up winning in straight sets, and she had a six love victory in the second set. I called her a teenager earlier. She's now 20 years old. I forgot that she had turned 20. But it was definitely hot and muggy, kind of steamy at the U.S. Open. And then there were thunderstorms later in the day during the Novak Djokovic match. He ended up advancing when his opponent withdrew because of injury. So Coco was talking about how she has a particular game that she plays on her phone, similar to the Josh Allen GIF, me not knowing who that is. I've never heard of this particular game.
Literally just, I play this game on Roblox called Dress to Impress. So literally just to look on, look up how to get all the cool like codes and stuff to make nice outfits.
I love that she's a 20-year-old. And yeah, even more when she talks about using social media, I don't know. If you're a 20-year-old, does she speak for you?
Yeah, so it kind of just depends on the platform. Like Twitter, I'm really not on. I only like search one time after match to see what people thought of my outfit. But oh, and I did see, and then I did search also to see Naomi's because I kept hearing about it, but I didn't see it. And her outfit is great too.
So she's more into the fashion. Naomi Osaka, who's back now, trying to get into a groove again after having her daughter. Coco doesn't use Twitter, doesn't call it X. I guess we should explain to her why we call it Twix. But yeah, it's interesting because I think there are a lot of people who don't work in sports media or news media. News and sports media tend to dominate with using Twix. But even now, young people who are part of, let's say, Gen Z, don't use Twitter anymore. I actually have some young friends who use Facebook, but obviously that's much more for an older crowd. And a lot of my friends and family members are not on Twitter. They don't have Twitter accounts. And what I'm hearing is that young people don't use it a lot of young people don't use it either.
There's no need to, because you have TikTok and Instagram, which is kind of alike.
Insta was mostly pictures.
Not anymore.
Oh.
It's more of like Instagram is just TikTok, just with pictures.
And not videos.
Well, there is video. It's just like they have something called Reels, which is like their
Facebook has that too.
Yeah, it's their for, well, it's the same company.
I was going to say, doesn't Facebook own Insta?
Yeah, so it's the same thing. It's just like short form videos that attract people. And the only reason Twitter's popular, I think, is because of the news. It's
instant. The media. Yeah, that's what it is. Don't the Chinese have to sell TikTok or they're going to get banned in the United States?
Something like that.
Can you imagine? Gen Z and Gen Alpha might implode if TikTok got banned.
Mm-hmm.
Like those two generations, they might rebel and riot over not being allowed to use TikTok.
They'll grow up. They could use Instagram. It's the
Aren't
same
you
thing.
Part of Gen Z?
I am.
I love how you call them they. They'll grow up.
Because I'm not gonna riot over the loss of TikTok.
Yeah, no, you shouldn't. Okay, coming up. What else do we want to do? Oh, gosh. I still want to get to this Ronaldo story, which is kind of interesting. Definitely top of the hour. We'll talk about the Steelers and Mike Tomlin naming his quarterback. Also waiting on the Patriots naming of a quarterback because that's supposed to come on Thursday. Something else that I thought is interesting, too, while we're talking about like women in sports, and asking you about Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark. We're getting ready to start the Paralympics in Paris now, too. And I'm hoping that they get a bump from the Olympic Games and all the excitement over these Paris Summer Olympics. It's really neat to see the athletes showing up. They did their opening ceremonies, I think on Wednesday. And for them now, I'm hoping the same thing, that same spirit is alive and the fan support is there as well because of everything they've overcome to be able to compete. So good stuff. All right. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. I'm so late. Here's our latest sports update.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
I shot the sheriff,
but I did not shoot the deputy.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
John is listening in Alaska.
Hey, Amy, how are you doing tonight?
I'm good, thank you.
Wonderful. Who do you think will be the bigger loss to their team on Sunday? Do you see it being Cam Chancellor, or do you see it being Jordy Nelson? Hey, you know what? I just got pulled over, so I'm going to listen on the air.
Whoa! Tell him to turn on the radio, and he'll understand that you were talking to... Well, you were talking football. I've got no other defense for you. I'm sorry.
I shot the sheriff.
Here's Amy Lawrence.
Man, this is a blast from the past, not only because that conversation happened on the air where a guy got pulled over while he was talking to us because he wasn't using his hands-free device or something along those lines. I've actually done interviews while I'm driving. I don't enjoy doing it that way, but if I have a radio station who wants me to do an interview and I have to be in transit, well, then I'll do it. Definitely have had a situation where I've either driven by a state trooper or a cop and had to drop my phone in my lap to pick it up then and finish the conversation. I think I might have done that with a Toronto radio station once, but I've also had it done to me where people have had to drop their phone or hide their phone or quickly put their phones down because they're driving too close to law enforcement. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. As we head up toward the top of the hour, we'll get you set for a QB news because we've got the news from Pittsburgh and we're waiting the news about QB1 from New England. This portion of the show is sponsored by Hyundai's bold family of EVs that bring a new kind of energy to your journey. The Ioniq 5 and 5N, Ioniq 6, and Kona Electric, the most electric EV lineup. 855-212-4227. Also as part of our QB news CD, as in CD Lamb, is stumping for a new contract for Dak Prescott, and Jerry Jones is offering up the latest. But the other kind of football, you know, the football that the rest of the world holds dear. Although anytime Cristiano Ronaldo is making waves or headlines, it's big news in the United States as well. He is one goal shy of 900 in his career. Now, this is his whole career, whether he's playing for Portugal or whether he's playing for his club teams, of which he's had multiple different versions. He's the all-time leading scorer in football history. That's kind of a weird thing to say. When you consider the number of teams and the number of nations and the number of whether it's World Cups or Euros or Copa or whatever, whatever. All-time leading scorer, Cristiano Ronaldo, has one goal left to get to 900. And he did a sit-down interview with a former English star, Rio Ferdinand. This is on his YouTube channel. Ronaldo's nearly 40 years old, but he has a very specific goal about what he wants to do before he can walk away.
For me, it's the best mark that I can have in football is to reach first 900 goals. After, my challenge is to be 1,000 goals. With one different, all the goals that I score, they have video. So I can't prove that it's...
Could you imagine the montage of 1,000 goals scored by Cristiano Ronaldo and there's video of every single one of them? That would be a long YouTube. A long YouTube highlight package, a long video, but certainly would be worth it. This is his former teammate, by the way, with Man U, and so he does the interview in English and talks about his goals. First, yes, 900 goals, but then at 39 years old, you're going to set as your next lofty goal another 100? I mean, he's still damn good and in great shape, obviously, but longevity, especially for older athletes, depends so much on your health and whether or not you can stay healthy. Goodness. He says, what makes me different is all of my goals. They have video. He wants to prove to people that he's got 1,000 goals. So every single one of them put together in a montage in a YouTube clip. That'd be awesome. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for four episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.